Hi, we're starting out in the Minor Prophets now, the so-called Minor Prophets of the so-called Old Testament. So in other words, it's prophecy from the prophets in the older scriptures. And here's one scripture that has to do with the wearing of Hebraic apparel in Zephaniah, or people would say Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Zephaniah 1, 7 and 8. Hold thy peace at the presence of Yahweh the Almighty, for the day of Yahweh is at hand. So we know that that means the end times, the judgment time is coming. The day of Yahweh is at hand. Yahweh has prepared an offering. He has bid his guests. And it shall come to pass on the day of Yahweh's offering that I will punish the princesses, the princes, and the king's children, and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. That goes wrong with Deuteronomy 22:11 about the proper apparel for believers. And certainly there is strange apparel these days. 10%, 40%, 50% cleavage. But we're talking about Hebraic apparel versus just regular common clothing of the Gentiles before they understood the Torah. And then concerning the name of Yahweh, that those who diminish the idea that we ought to use Yahweh's pure, separated name, in Zephaniah, the last chapter, verse 7 and 8, I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction so after dwelling, so their dwelling should not be cut off. However, and howsoever I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. So he disciplined them, but they still wouldn't repent. And verse 8, therefore tarry and wait you upon me, saith Yahweh, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger on the nations. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of Yahweh to serve him with one consent. Verse 15, Yahweh has taken away the judgments. He has cast out thy enemy, the king of Israel. Even Yahweh is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. I wanted to note that the book of Zephaniah was right after Habakkuk. Now, to Amos, as we turn to the left. Amos chapter 8. Behold, thus saith Yahweh, he showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. Not spring, summer. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. And saith Yahweh unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith Yahweh. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them off forth with silence. Hear this, O you that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn? So it infers here that selling corn would be wrong on the new moon, unless that particular new moon, but it could include all of them. Better to deal on the side of caution. When will the new moon be gone, that we may sell, and the Sabbath be gone, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small, and the shekel great, and falsifying balances by deceit. Going back to that first verse, thus saith Yahweh, he showed unto me, behold, a basket of summer fruit. So falsifying balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver, and the needy for a pair of shoes. Yes, and sell the refuse of the wheat. Yahweh has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of thy works. Noting particularly, after this is prophecy, but in Amos 8, 10, 11, 12, and I will turn your feasts into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation, and I will bring up sackcloth upon your loins, and baldness upon your head, every head, and I will make it the mourning of a only son, to the death of your only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of Yahweh. We sure find that today in most assemblies. Well, they're They're reading the book of Genesis, all right, but that's about all they'll do. Genesis. There's a lot more to the word than that, and more to it than John 3:16. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Yahweh, and shall not find it. Wouldn't that be a sad day? We couldn't even find Yahweh's word. Yeah, it's hard to find by searching on the radio and internet to find any good religious channel. It seems like all the channels occasionally have something good on there. But okay, now we'll turn forward to Hosea. I was wrong there. Turn backward, right? Towards Daniel, that's right. From Amos to Joel. Okay, I see what I did in my studies here. Hosea 2. I would like to start off with that here, about the end times and about the way the world is shaping up, churches and current events. So this will relate to that, to how the Sabbath is not being kept, and even what it is. It's like I went to a Feast of Tabernacles in 2012 that was supposed to be about tabernacles, and even the leader said that he was intent upon theme of Feast of Tabernacles on the Second Coming, but it was anything but that. He even brought in some soothsaying woman who said to the leaders, "Now I'm going to tell you how you can hear from Yahweh." "Oh, wow, wow, how you can hear from God. Oh, wow. I've never heard anybody explain that before. Please." She wasn't talking to babes. There were no babes within the hearing, and the other leaders as well followed the team. Hosea chapter 2. Hang on, put on your seatbelts. "Say you unto your brethren, Ami, and your sisters, Ruhama," or pitied and loved, "have obtained mercy." The pitied have obtained mercy. "Plead with your mother," so the mother could be Israel. "Plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband." This is tantamount, or deals with, the Feast of Shavuot, Pentecost, First Fruits. "Neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirsts. With thirst, and I will not have mercy upon her children." The son is speaking here. The son of the father will not have mercy on the children, for they will be the children of whoredoms. For their mother has played the harlot. She that conceived them has done shamefully, and she said, "I'll go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and flax, my oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up the way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths." And verse 7, "She shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but shall not find them." So her illegal, illegitimate lovers, those in various religions, strange Eastern religions, "and she shall say, I will go and return to my first husband. For then was it better with me than now." If you've divorced your first husband, the word says that you're not supposed to go back. Although Yahweh has made an exception, but we don't live by exceptions. Verse 8, "For she did not know that I gave her corn, and I gave her wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal." That's what they do today. The Baal worship is in every church. Sun worship, using Baal's name instead of Yahweh. Verse 9, "Therefore I will return and take away my corn in the time thereof." So we see the crops diminishing. They're trying to use the GMOs to try to get enough food out of the earth to, quote, feed everybody. Genetically modified organism. "My wine in the season thereof, and I will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness, and now I will discover her lewdness. I will discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of my hand. I will also call and cause all her mirth to cease, all her festivities to cease. Her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. This is yet to come in Hosea chapter 2. And I will cause her mirth, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. These are all important, but they were done not according to Yahweh's way, therefore they were man's way. Man's altering the way to do things and changing the theme of the feasts instead of applying to the what is to be spoken of now to address the issue of the moment. They want to go into all kinds of other subjects to get away from the idea. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, where she has said, "There are my rewards that my lovers have given me. I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them." See Ezekiel 23. "And she decked herself with her earrings, jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgat me, saith Yahweh. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her, give her vineyards from thence in the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith Yahweh, that thou shalt call me Ishi, or my man, and shall no more call me Bailey, master." Yeah, no longer call the father these corrupted names, such as is written in most modern versions, L-O-R-D. Those Balaams will cease out of the mouths of, and for I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. "And in that day will I make a covenant with them, for the, with the beasts of the fields, the fowls of the heaven, the creeping things of the ground, and break the bow, and the sword, and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely, and I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yes, I will betroth thee." Now there's that message of Pentecost, message of the Song of Solomon, that the betrothed, there the bride, is being prepared, made spotless, without spot or spoil, and the virgins are trimming their lamps, getting that oil of the Spirit, getting ready for Yahweh's return, and putting on the garments of righteousness, putting on the Messiah's righteousness, not their own. "I will betroth thee unto me forever. I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know Yahweh. And it shall come to pass in that day I will hear, saith Yahweh, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth." I don't know what that means. "And the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that has not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people," like those that were broken off of the good olive tree out of Israel, the Gentiles, "I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people, and they shall say, Thou art my man, my man." And then we see also in Hosea, we see in chapter 4 that my people, in chapter 4, 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of Yahweh, I will also forget thy children. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I'll also reject thee, that thou shalt be no more priest to me, saying that thou hast forsaken the law of Yahweh. I will also forget thy children." And in verse 17, "Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Israel slides back as a backsliding heifer. Now Yahweh will feed them as a lamb in a large place." So there's a good answer here. There's the bad news, and then we come to the good news. In the book of Hosea, we're moving up to chapter 6 and 7, 11, 8, 12, 9, 13, and finally 14. And you could complement these readings with other comparatively, like Romans 14, or excuse me, Revelation chapter 14. And verse 1, "I looked, and lo, the Lamb stood on Mount Zion, with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, as in the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, And they sang, as it were, a renewed song before the throne, and the elders and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb. So virgins in the spiritual sense, I would think. Otherwise, Abraham was not a virgin, so he wouldn't be included either in that 144,000 because he had children through Sarah. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto Yahweh and to the Lamb. And their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of Yahweh. That's in 14:12. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of the Messiah. Okay, back to their Hosea reading. We're in chapter 6, 8, 12, 9, 13, and 14. Chapter 6, Hosea. Come and let us return unto Yahweh, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days, a day with Yahweh is 1,000 years, so that's possible he's speaking here from the death, burial, and resurrection around the year 30. After 2 days, or after 2,000 years, which would bring us to 2030, after 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. So we're coming to that 3,000th year since Yahweh's impalement on the stake at Calvary, and the end of the 6,000 years of man on earth. And after 2 days, he will revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we will live in his sight. Verse 6, that's six. Hosea 6, 6. I desired mercy and not offering, and the knowledge of Yahweh I desired more than burnt offerings. But they, like a man, have transgressed the covenant. Yeah, they broke the covenant by breaking the Sabbath and feast days. There have they dealt treacherously against me. Well, there they, like Adam, have transgressed the covenant. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity and is polluted with blood, and is troops of robbers, I think it is, of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness. I've seen horrible thing in the house of Israel. Here is the whoredoms of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. And I've even seen that sexual immorality coming into some churches like Foursquare in small amounts at this point, and Methodist Church and so on. Also, O Judah, he has set a harvest for thee when I return the captivity of my people. In chapter 7, verse 11, I would like to go to verse 8. Chapter 7, 8, Ephraim, he has mixed himself among the people. So we're getting into that mixture there, that unpure mixture, that cesspool, all the religions into one being hodgepodge, no matter what their belief. As long as they just believe in Jesus, then they can all be one. It doesn't matter what they believe, as long as they believe in a name of Jesus. So that a mixture, Ephraim includes all of us who have backslidden. That's a type of those of us, especially modern America, and since about the 1940s to the present 2013 and 14. Ephraim has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Yes, we have the village, you know, that is supposed to be the answer, and education is supposed to be technology, and so on. Government is supposed to be the answer to man's problem. It isn't. Yahweh, through the Word, he is the answer. It's even hard for messianics, I think, and true believers as well. And some of those true believers, includes messianics, to enter in and to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh and the deeds of the flesh, but have the gifts of the Spirit. It's hard. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knows it not. Gray hairs are here and there upon him. He knows not. The pride of Israel testified to his face, and they don't return to Yahweh, not seek him for all this, nor seek him. Ephraim also is a silly dove without heart. That typifies so many of us, those in various religions, including in authority, in leadership, people who do not qualify to be in there. They're not qualified to be in a place of leadership, and when they do get into that position, I've seen them look so silly. Strangers have devoured his strength. Oh, it's sick. Have devoured his strength. And Ephraim is like a silly dove, verse 11 there, in Hosea, chapter 7. They have spoken lies against me. And 16, they return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful dove. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision. This will be their derision in the land of Egypt. Then next, chapter 8, 12, more about Ephraim. I have written to him the great things of my law, but those great things were counted as a strange thing. Of course, we don't find that phenomenon going on in our churches today, do we? Oh, but we do. Even Presbyterian churches can fare better than the so-called commandment-keeping ones. Some of the Presbyterian churches, we just pale in comparison to them, and in their intensity, their desire to follow the word as closely as possible. They just need to cross that final, hedge there, or over the hump to keeping the feasts. So chapter 9 then, and we're going to be done here pretty quick. We're 20-some minutes into 24 right now, to be exact, without editing, here on Yahweh.name. Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people, for thou hast gone whoring from Yahweh, thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. The floor and the winepress shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. They shall not dwell in Yahweh's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, so return to sin, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. They shall not offer wine offerings to Yahweh, neither shall they be pleasing unto him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. All that eat thereof shall be polluted. So they don't sacrifice in, say, a wishy-washy Protestant church. You know, they're not sacrificing up sheep and bulls and so on, but they are sacrificing some vain oblations, some spiritual oblations. All that eat shall be polluted for their bread, for their soul shall not come into the house of Yahweh. Yes, even the Church of Christ, is some of those are guilty. And when we mention a denomination, we're not condemning or condoning the entire. We're pointing out that there are some problems in there. And obviously, we wouldn't even join that denomination unless it were closer to the truth in whole. You know, we can make a few exceptions, but a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So I don't go right out and say I'm going to join one of these churches of the world. So we'll continue in that chapter of Hosea 9:4. We're halfway through the verse. All that eat thereof shall be polluted, for their bread, for their soul, shall not come into the house of Yahweh. What will you do, or what will you do in the solemn day, in the day of the feast of Yahweh? I don't know if he's talking about the judgment being a feast at the last there, or if it's one of the feasts of Yahweh. So then we'll move on here. Like verse 9, they have deeply corrupted themselves, and as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore, he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins. And talking more about the modern man on earth, about Ephraim there. Verse 15, all their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them for the wickedness of their doings. I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. So they say, that Yahweh loves everybody. He loves people of all religions. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what name or anything they use or which idol they worship. But here it seems to establish a proper truth. But that's all lies, that he's not going to just tolerate idolatry. Why would he change? And he talked about love. Love here. It's not love like man would think love is. Then to the next chapter, Israel. Israel as a whole then. In chapter 1, is an empty vine. He will bring forth fruit unto himself according to the multitude of his fruit. He has increased the altars according to the goodness of his land. They have made goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. For now they say, we have no king, because we fear not Yahweh, What then should a king do to us? We have no king but Caesar. We have no king but Obama. And it's the same old, or George Bush, or whoever. As we finish this rendition here out of overseeing Hosea, taking a quick flight out of there, let's go to chapter, there's much in here. There's a Feast of Tabernacles being mentioned in chapter 12, and Ephraim theme. In chapter 13, verse 14, this is going to wrap it all up. You know, people say, well, there's only two laws, to love your neighbor and love yourself. Or is it love Yahweh and love yourself? I don't know. They have their two laws. Well, I know it's in Mark there and so on. But it seems like they, you know, the first law is to love themselves. But here it is. There's the theme of the resurrection now. The topic of the resurrection is here in this one verse. After all the iniquity, well, Yahweh is going to pardon those whose hearts are stayed on Him and have a repentant, proper attitude. They want to do the right thing. Maybe they can't, but they want to do it. And they've stopped doing their evil, and now Yahweh's going to help them as they turn to Yahweh and turn to the truth, turn to the Word, to the fundamental truth of Yahweh, that the Scripture interprets itself. Not, you know, people say, well, what about all these millions of interpretations? Who can say if it means anything? So it says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. In 13:14, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from my eyes. So there won't be any more of this false repenting. We're calling it repentance, and it's not. No, it's going to be true repentance. So he's not going to see any more of that phony baloney anymore. Yahweh is coming quickly, and is, how does it say there in the, well, I don't know, I have to look it up. And, let's see, in Matthew chapter 3, and the message is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Yochanan was in the Jerusalem, Judea area, the region about Jordan. All were immersed of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. And he said, bring forth therefore meat, excuse me, therefore bring forth fruits, meat of repentance, or worthy of repentance. Instead of the word meat, M-E-E-T, bring forth therefore fruits, meat for repentance. And think not to say within yourself, we're the first church of England, or the first church of you know, this or that, Church of Christ. We're the Jehovah's Witnesses, and so on. Don't say, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that Yahweh is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Oh, yeah, that's he's coming right down there to the where the petal meets the metal. Therefore, every tree which brings forth which does not bring forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed immerse you with water unto repentance. And he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall immerse you also with the Ruach HaKadosh and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat. Now, who is he talking about? Of course, he's talking about the Messiah, the Son of Yahweh, whose fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And let's go to John 3 and pick up an overview of that chapter. For most of you know that. It talks about being born again. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of heaven. He's talking to Nicodemus there. And Messiah answered, and in verse 11, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen and received not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven. No, David hasn't. No man, huh? No man. Abraham? No man has ascended to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. See also John chapter 5, 37 and 6, 33 about this, that no person was yet in heaven at that time. And in Acts chapter 2, even David was not, even the patriarch David was still not there, dancing around with a loincloth in front of the King of Kings. No, he wasn't there after the resurrection, 50 days after. And Moses lifted up the serpent of the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For Yahweh so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For Yahweh sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of Yahweh. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. So the Messiah here is the light. It's a comparison there. Light is a symbolic of Messiah. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness. Or they love ways of Satan, or their own flesh. They love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. They don't want to get too religious, do they? But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in Yahweh. Yes. Only by the Spirit can our good deeds of keeping those commandments be accomplished. And then back to the theme of the bridegroom, skipping down to verse 29 and John 3, 29. He that has the bride is the bridegroom. So Messiah has the bride, has us. But the friend of the bridegroom, which stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Let's quickly look at 17:1 before I go back there. This, I think that has to do with the Passover service. 17:1. It does say there that Messiah spoke, lifted up his eyes to heaven. Father, the hour has come. Magnify thy Son, that thy Son also may magnify thee. Next verse of John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no man received his testimony. He that has received his testimony has set to a seal that Yahweh is true. That seal is also mentioned in Ezekiel 9:4. For he whom Yahweh has sent speaks the words of Yahweh, for Yahweh gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. For he whom Yahweh has sent speaks the words of Yahweh. The Messiah, for Yahweh gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. No, he has the fullness. For he is Yahweh. And that's not heresy. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Here's the final verse now. Listen. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of Yahweh abideth on him. There's a lot of details there to consider in John chapter 3 on this reading. And I also read from Matthew, what was that, chapter 3, right before this, about the axe is now laid to the root of the trees, and his hand is in his hand, his fan, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor, which is easy for you to say, and sometimes not easy to get the words out. I'm Stephen Yah of Yahweh, Yahweh.name. May Yahweh come quickly, Maranatha, and praise Yahweh. May his joy be fulfilled in you, and may he fill you with your Spirit. May he fill us, our friends here, and we have fellowship with one another, and most of all with our Almighty Father, even as we have to be in the world at times, but not a part of it. We're in the world, and it's a struggle sometimes. Sometimes it's not so bad. Sometimes it's easy. We need much more to study here. So let's keep pressing on and pressing in to the word of Yahweh and be filled with Yahweh. Be filled with His Spirit. Praise Yah. Hallel Yahweh. Praise His name.